This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
My name is Jamie Loftus.
And we're book smart. The two of us. We're really smart at books.
I was struggling to think of a way to start this episode as well. And that was probably exactly what I would have said.
Okay, well.
And we know how to read. And
I have a master's degree for crying out loud.
High school. Yeah. You got to read a lot to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have really. I'm like, did I read in college really at all? And I just really went deep into debt. And got very depressed. You don't need to read to know how to do that. No. Anyways, today's episode is brought to you by reading. So this is the Bechdel cast. Mm-hmm. If you're a new listener, this is our podcast where we talk about the way that women are portrayed in popular movies. Mm-hmm. We use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point for discussion. But what is the Bechdel test?
Pray tell.
I mean, I need someone with a master's degree to tell me.
Okay.
I'm dog shit. I can't do anything.
I'd be happy to tell you that the Bechdel test is a media test developed by cartoonist Alison Bechdel that requires that, let's say, a movie that you're looking at has two named female identifying characters. They must be in the movie together. They must speak to each other. And their conversation cannot be about a man.
Yes.
You think it would be not that hard, but a lot of movies don't do it.
Don't pass it. Can we do a quick example?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Caitlin.
What's up, Jamie?
I am still so struck by the animated knockoff of Titanic we watched last night.
Me too. The
it
legend of Titanic.
Up.
I had never heard of it.
It fucked me
we
up.
We watched it up. There's a giant octopus.
Oh, but we're it's a male-identifying octopus.
I fucked it up.
His name is Tentacles, and he holds the Titanic together, and everyone on the Titanic lives.
We have to do a bonus episode on the legend of Titanic.
It's at least as good as Booksmart. It's at least as good as Booksmart.
If not a little better.
We watched it right after. We double featured Booksmart and the legend of Titanic. And Booksmart, for all of its merits, does not have a gigantic octopus that rescues people.
Right.
And that's
one of its fatal flaws.
And that's really what the discourse has been focused around.
Well,
for this movie.
That conversation came close to passing the Bechdel test until I brought up the octopus.
I mean, and the octopus is really phallic, too. It's like a baby dog head with eight dicks just shooting out of it. It's so strong and throbby. It's gross. Anyways,
I think we should
let's bring our
move
guest
away from this conversation and introduce our guest.
How do I follow that?
I don't know how really, you're going to do it.
But impossible act to follow.
You're going
to
do a great job because
I have two arms. Like, this sucks. I think I'm already failing.
The voice you just heard, she's an amazing human. She's an actor, and you might know her from such movies as A Little Princess, Jurassic Park, Lost World, and Harriet the Spy. It's Vanessa Chester.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for saying I'm an amazing human being.
Of course.
What? You don't even know me. That's so nice.
I just have a feeling.
Thank
you. She has a strong intuition.
Let's check back in with that at the end of the episode okay. and yes. see if you still feel that way.
And then if not, I mean, we can always blame it on a friend of the show, Miles Gray. Because he brought you into our lives.
And oh my gosh.
We can always take him out of this world.
Take him down.
That's true. That's true.
We're talking about Booksmart today.
We're talking about Booksmart, a new release.
Yes.
Popular listener request. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm psyched to talk about it. So, Vanessa, what did you think of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. Like, I saw a preview and I was like, I want to see this. Like, I kind of was that girl in high school who, like, studied a lot and got great grades. And I mean, I partied still, but like I could have partied far more.
Yeah.
I can't go back and do that. And I made up for it in college. I felt like the casting was brilliant. Like I liked every single character. I liked the personalities. Yeah. Like
they all had such great chemistry.
That and also I feel like at the beginning it was like, oh, I know these people. I know who this person was in high school.
Yeah.
And by the end, you were like, oh, everyone's a blooming onion. We have many layers. Like, mm-hmm. we all realize that, but it also makes you kind of think of, like, that person in high school that you may have judged that you now see on Facebook and you're like, whoa. Or, like, what yeah. did I hear that I just accepted to be them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We all had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of traumatic high school projects coming out at the moment.
There were, so many specific characters that you're like, oh, I would have prejudged that person yeah. in high school for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I was that.
Or I hung out with them, or I defended that person.
Yeah. My best friend growing up was a Jared.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Peter was a bit of a Jared.
Okay.
But without all the money, so he was just
That's
loud.
That's amazing. He was so sweet.
I was very much like the gals, Amy and Molly, where like I mm-hmm. didn't party at all in high school.
Same,
I like yeah. really cared about my grades and like studying and
if you're listening
all that
to the
stuff.
Show for the first time, Caitlin and I historically, canonically suck.
We are very boring and lame.
We are very boring.
I'm like trying to think. I'm like, I was really good because I was afraid of my mom and I knew like mm-hmm. but then it was one of those things where like I'm not necessarily lazy, but the lazy aspect of my personality really shines through to find efficiency in things. And so yeah. I was that person who was like, if I pay attention in this 50-minute period and take bomb notes, I won't have to fucking study and I'll pass all the tests. Like, mm-hmm. and that was basically the way I got through college too.
That's just
I was
resourceful.
Nice. Yeah, I was yeah. like, I've got a photographic memory. Just look, write, draw, like ask all the questions mm-hmm. and be done.
Yeah.
And then the minute I got into college, I was like, I just ditched for like half of senior year.
Oh, yeah. By the time I was in college, I discovered Vladimir Vodka and
oh,
it was.
Nice.
Wow.
Vladimir
all bets Vodka. Were off.
Yeah. Advanced.
We had Mr. Boston.
Oh, right.
Boston Vodka. You could get it in gallon size and
those
make it last
fun.
The whole semester.
Yeah. When cool. the fake ID at Food for Less, when I was like, pop off on me. And everyone's like, but that's basically killing half of us. And I was like, it's chill. It's chill, guys.
Just Thanos, your friend.
I'm like, Food for Less is the only place that accepts this ID. Like, because I'm 5'3" and it says I'm 5'8". So let's just do it, okay? Guys, do you want jungle juice or not?
Right. Let's just dive into the recap,
I
suppose.
No one has much of a history with this movie.
I've seen it 3 times now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Except for you.
I was a little, I mean, it was weird. I just saw this movie. The like discussion around this movie was kind of bizarre when it came out of like it underperformed at the box office and mm-hmm. the reasons people felt that was all over the place. And it was just like, there was a lot of like interesting, weird discussion around this movie when it came out to the point where I was like, I don't know, when Twitter discussions get so in the weeds, I'm just like, I'm
I'm tired and I'm less likely to see the movie.
Yeah, like I'm exhausted just from reading these reviews. I don't even know if I have the capacity to watch the actual movie you reviewed.
Too many takes. Like, yeah. There were so many takes on this movie. Yeah, too many takes. But I mean, like Twitter takes are just like, they're exhausting. Yeah. So I was almost like put off from seeing this movie, which I realize now was not fair because I quite enjoyed it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Likewise. I'll tell the story of the movie.
The story of the book smarts.
So it's the last day of high school for Amy and Molly.
Mm-hmm. Beanie Feldstein and...
Caitlin Dever.
Who, my favorite fun fact about her is that her dad was the voice of Barney.
Yes.
Stop.
Right?
True.
Anyway. I would just have a shirt that said that, just so right? I wouldn't have to like find a way to get it in the conversation.
It's incredible that I had to seek that information out. Why isn't she just talking about
Tell
it?
Tell people.
Don't promote this movie you're in. Your father is Barney the dinosaur. Anyways,
yes. So
that's all I know about
They are best friends, and they are two like overachiever, goody-two-shoes types.
But like fun. They do the robot before
yeah,
school.
They like
yeah,
dance.
They're
yeah.
like not.
They have fun with each other.
They're not Reese Witherspoon in Election.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're like what we wanted. Like, oh, you have a personality, but you're smart.
Yeah. Yes. Like type A, but not like
They have fun with each other,
yeah.
but like not with other people outside of their duo.
Relatable.
And because they wanted to study hard so they could get into good colleges. And then we meet some of their classmates. There's Nick, who is the VP of the class because Molly is the class president. There's like Theo and Tanner. They're like these like two burnout guys.
Yeah.
There's this girl that they call AAA. There is this girl, Ryan, who Amy has a crush on.
The skater girl.
So cute.
Oh my God, with the curly hair.
So cute.
Yeah.
So cute.
And then there's Jared, who's this like rich try-hard kid, and his rich friend Gigi, who is played by
Carrie Fisher's daughter, mm-hmm.
Billy Lord.
Yeah.
I was IMDBing everyone today. I loved her.
She was great.
And Nick is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s son.
Fun.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, having famous parents. Pays
really
off, baby.
Gets you into movies.
I remember this movie's so good, though. I can't even be mad about it.
So we meet all these classmates of theirs, and then Amy and Molly find out that Nick is having a party at his aunt's house that night. Then Molly overhears some of her classmates talking about her and like saying that she's not fun, that she loves school too much, and that she has a butter personality.
Which is a funny joke.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that one hurts far more.
Yeah.
Far more.
You're like, oh.
High school students are just, cool. Even though this is like a writer, like, are mean.
It's cutting. Yeah.
And then Molly finds out that all of these classmates who she thinks are like idiot burnouts and who like partied a lot and had fun also got into the good colleges. So she has like a conniption. And it's like, you know what, Amy, we got to go to Nick's party. We got to prove to these people that we can be fun, too. And that we, you know, we don't want to have missed out on like fun high school party experience.
This is like, I feel like it's such catharsis for students who were like that, because that student almost never actually goes to the party on the last day. Like, I definitely never. I just went to the afternoon barbecues when people graduated and was like, I'd like a cheeseburger. And then I'd leave by 4 p.m.
Yeah.
I was feeling it for them. I was like, sure. Yeah, you go to a party or you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they get ready for the party, but they don't know the address to Nick's aunt's house and no one is answering their calls. So then Molly's like, oh, I'll try Jared, the like try-hard rich kid.
Jared.
The heart of
feminist
gold.
Icon.
I love him.
Jared, who is listening to a Sheryl Sandberg on tape, lean in.
Listen, corporate feminism, car. A little bit misguided, but you know, he's 17 years old.
He doesn't
he's trying.
Know.
He's making an effort, and we appreciate it.
So sweet.
So they call him, and he comes to pick them up, assuming that he knows where the party is, and he takes them to a party, but it's not
it's the Twilight
right
Zone. It's sick.
It's like his lonely boat party.
I know.
But like, what would you do for one of those Jared t-shirts? Everything.
Right?
I hope they're selling that merch.
I bet you it's on
I
Etsy.
Hope so.
I bet you it's on Etsy.
Yeah. I would like one. The Jared party made me so sad. I'm like, if this were a darker movie, Jared would be like, he would like kill someone. Like, he has infinite resources.
I watch a lot of true crime, and I 100% see that storyline happening.
Yeah. I'm like, it's a good thing he does have a heart of gold, because this could have, like, them gone bailing on wrong. His party could have been their death sentence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other person there at his graduation party is Gigi.
Shapeshifter. Right.
What a great character.
So much fun.
Yeah. She just appears. You never see her enter a room.
Love it.
Jared's all like, Molly, you're awesome. I like you. And she's like, I gotta go. So she and Amy hightail it out of there.
Also, Gigi swan dives off of the boat.
She does a lot of dives into water. Yeah, like, there's does. One that I was like, I hope that was a stunt double. That one looked like it hurt.
Right. Yeah.
You know which
yeah,
one.
The you belly know flop. Mm-hmm.
I was like, her face, she's not doing a movie for like a month after that. I think that one hurt.
Oh, that's great.
So Molly still wants to go to Nick's party, but Amy's like, we just went to a party. We don't need to go to another one. And then Molly calls Malala, which is like their code for, hey, friend, you got to do whatever I want, whatever I say, no questions asked, like full support.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy's like, okay. And then they hear back from their classmate, Alan, with the address.
Who's one of the drama kids, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Love the drama kids.
Him and George.
Oh my gosh. The drama so kids are incredible.
Yes. Yeah. Love them. So they call a Lyft, and the driver is their principal, making, you know, some commentary on, you know, how educators are not paid enough.
This is like this. There is like, I like it every time, but there is a repeating motif in this movie where it's just like, and they get in a car and a very famous comedian is driving the car. Like, that happens like four different times. We're like, wait, Jason Sudeikis? Jessica Williams? Like, it's
Mike O'Brien?
Yeah, like, how?
It's every single time.
It's almost as if this was scripted.
Right. But it's fun, like that. Those scenes are. This movie's been compared a lot to Superbad, which I don't think is.
That's
like,
exactly what I thought after.
But the car scenes are like when I got the strongest vibe. Mm-hmm. When like I thought Bill Hader would drive. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about the scene where they like end up the Superbad, but like when McLovin tries to get the liquor.
Yeah.
That and it was like that one creepy dude who's like, you definitely have something in your basement. I don't want to know what.
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah.
I forgot about, I feel like
but
Jared,
that was what gave me that deja vu moment too.
Yeah. There's, I mean, the comparisons, I mean, like it doesn't bother me at all. Like, it's just it's a
I think it's worth discussing later on too. Okay. But yeah.
And I think that Jared is like kind of a vastly improved McLovin type character.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we like learn about him. We know about him. McLovin, where is he?
Yeah.
Where did he go?
I don't know. So they're in the cab, they're in the Lyft. They watch some porn in the car.
That
because Amy's all like, I don't know how to do anything with girls. And Molly's
and then
like,
the teacher hears their porn. Oh yeah. No.
Oh no. And then they finally get to the party, except that this party is Alan and George's murder mystery dinner theater party.
I mean, drama.
That incredible monologue that, wait, who is George? Who gives the monologue that's like, my husband
That's Alan.
That is so funny. I love that part so much.
And then he's like, you don't have to do it every single time. Sighing. I was like, I hope someone else comes in and he does it again.
I loved the codependent drama club friendship. That was beautiful. That really resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. So Gigi is also somehow there at this party. And she's like, wow, I'm surprised you guys aren't feeling those drugs yet. Because she had fed them drugged strawberries. Because
that has to happen in this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
It does.
So they start tripping. They hallucinate that they're Barbie dolls.
That was weird.
Like things. Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about this scene.
Yeah, this is like one of the things that I was like, I could have done without it. I don't know. Whatever.
It felt wedged in. But
teen
anyway.
Movie equals drug scene.
I know. It's like you got to experiment if you go out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like so over it. Yeah.
They also get sober so quickly, which
That was my next note. I was like, I'm not saying anyone's dabbled, but that seemed like it was way too short of a time. Like, they sat down at dinner and their trip was over. I was like,
right. Yeah.
No. They're like, it's the next scene. We're sober. We have to.
We're Barbies, so it's done now.
Yep.
So then they leave George's party. Amy's like, okay, we went to two parties. Let's go home. And Molly's like, no, I still want to go to Nick's party. And then we find out that it's because Molly has a crush on Nick.
Which Gigi announces from like the 30 yards away.
It's great. Our girl.
And then Amy's like, okay, let's freaking go to Nick's party. But they still don't know the address. And then they like do all this homework to figure it out. They see a video from the party where there's like this big stack of pizzas from Lido's Pizza. So they go there and try to like rob the pizza delivery guy for the information.
Mike O'Brien. And Mike O'Brien's like, you could be killed.
Yeah. And he's like, don't trust people. But he gives him the address.
Later revealed that he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, when he like described what could possibly happen, it's like,
you've done that before
90 times.
Or he's done it.
Right. Yeah. You've got 10,000 hours of experience in this, and that's scary.
Yeah. You've Malcolm Gladwell'd this into a career.
10,000 hours of murder. Yeah. Yes.
But they still can't get to the party because Amy left her phone in his car and Molly's phone is almost dead from all the porn that they streamed. Molly makes a call with like her last bit of juice. She's like, come pick us up. And then who shows up but another famous comedian, Jessica Williams.
Who's their teacher.
Who's their teacher, cool teacher. Miss Fine. Mm-hmm. And she takes them to Nick's party. There's a... Yeah.
Oh man, Jessica Williams deserved a better storyline.
I mean, this is what I'm like. This is what I'm doing. We could take a photo and add that to the like.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
But oh, no.
I'm Vanessa is writing on her hand, even though there is a notepad in front of her.
I just, look, as someone so who's like super protective and like, oh my God, that's a really dope pen. Should I swipe it? What about karma? But notebooks, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to fuck up someone's whole thing and like rip out a page. And oh, I'm like, no. My hand works.
Feel free to use the notepad.
But this is kind of a thing now.
We definitely are going to put that on our Instagram.
It is like a conspiracy map. I'm just like, and this led to this led to this.
It's going to become like a huge meme of understanding book smart.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah. We'll get into the Jessica Williams character. Yeah.
Yes,
but
for sure.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Deserve better.
So they get to the party finally. Everyone is there. Molly and Nick are flirting. Amy and Ryan are maybe flirting. Amy's still not really sure what's happening there or if Ryan even likes girls. And then Amy sees Ryan and Nick kissing. So she goes up to Molly and she's like, we have to go. We should go. Without telling Molly what she saw. So then they get in a fight and Molly's like, I have to do all the heavy lifting of our friendship. And Amy's like, well, you're mean. And then Amy reveals Amy reveals that she's taking a gap year and staying in Africa for the whole year.
That's the super bad moment too, right? Didn't they have a moment like that too?
Yeah.
Okay. That's another big super bad parallel. And that was one of the moments where I was just like, oh yeah, everyone in teen movies are fucking rich as hell. She's like, well, I'm taking a gap year. I'm like, good for
and
you.
I'm going to Yale.
Yeah, like I want to hear the kid who's like, I didn't get a Cal Grant approved. You know, like something that's relatable.
Like, I don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
Classic teen movie.
Mm-hmm. So then they fight and they storm off and Amy goes into the bathroom and Hope, another one of their classmates, is in there and they have like sort of like this antagonistic back and forth and then Amy kisses her. We'll talk about that. And then they start hooking up. Meanwhile, Jared and Molly are talking and like maybe vibing a little bit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then Amy cut back to the bathroom. Amy accidentally fingers Hope's butthole.
Oh, that was so tough.
God, I mean, and this is also like major like Judd Apatow movie vibes of like I accidentally fingered a butt and then I barfed. Like you're just like. What?
To be fair, she barfs because she drinks cigarettes. Butts.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
But barfing on someone at a party,
which also happens in Superbad.
Yeah. So the Superbad comparisons are warranted in many ways.
But there are also not in many ways, and we'll talk about it. So Amy like rushes out of there and then Molly finally sees Ryan and Nick kissing. So she's like, oh, that's why Amy, you know, wanted us to leave. She was trying to protect me. So she like goes to try to find Amy. But right then the cops show up to bust up the party and Molly gets out. The girl that they call AAA picks her up. Meanwhile, Amy, she's like, I'm going to create a diversion for the cops. And then we cut to the next morning. Like, we find out that she's been arrested.
She's fully so many questions behind that.
In okay. jail, has a phone call, pane of glass.
Yes.
Whole bit. I'm like, I'm just fine to suspend my disbelief on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And then Molly goes to bail her out using the information that they have on the pizza delivery dude, who we find out is a wanted criminal.
Like, yeah.
And then graduation's about to happen. Everyone's waiting for them. And they drive like crazy to get there. Molly gives her valedictorian speech. They graduate. Molly takes Amy to the airport. And then they say goodbye. And there's crying. But then they're like, hang on, we've got time to get pancakes. And they're like, yeah, let's get some fucking pancakes.
And smash to black.
The end.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the pancake thing. I was like all in my feelings, in my duvet, right. crying. Like, I have best friends too. And then I was like, pancakes? Like,
I love
pancakes. I mean, relatable. That was a pivot.
How many times have I, you know, gone to Denny's with a friend and eaten pancakes?
I mean,
once a week.
It happens time and time again.
Yeah.
So that's the story. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Tuesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey, we're back.
And we're back.
Yay.
Real quick at the top before we get into the characters, we've already alluded to this movie's been compared a lot to Superbad, which what I like about this, like, I understand totally why they're like, oh, it's like Superbad, but like with girls,
female Superbad.
It's which is definitely a little reductive. There are, as we already pointed out, a lot of like story points that are like that basically happens in Superbad, but it also, you know, avoids a lot of like the kind of bad mid to late aughts teen movie tropes that Superbad does. But I mean, it's like Beanie Feldstein is literally Jonah Hill's little sister. I understand why the comparisons are being made. And she had a quote. She did a Hollywood Reporter interview. She said, Booksmart does what Superbad did, which is celebrate a female friendship within a huge comedy. And it's really a relationship movie as much as it is an adventure high school comedy. And I was like, that quote is a little weird because Superbad in no way celebrates female friendship. But
does she mean just it celebrates friendship. A friendship? Between two people?
I guess, a high school friendship.
Sure.
Between dorks. Which is true.
Yeah. So. I mean, also, both movies center around an end-of-the-year senior in high school party. But
and like you were saying, Vanessa, like the big deception at the end of like, I'm actually doing this next year.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to sit down and like watch Superbad again because like Booksmart is so like fresh, but I can't. Yeah. I mean, I own the Superbad DVD. I was like, I'll watch this once a year because it's so funny.
We were all there.
And then I stopped.
Yeah. I mean, we did.
Other movies came out.
Yeah, right? We did a bonus Matreon episode. Bonus episode on Superbad. So go back and listen if you're a
Totally
matron.
Do that. But I had so much fun listening to you guys yesterday. Oh, like, thank Bluetooth you. Through the apartment, just like cleaning up. Like, holy shit, they should have. have talked about the Clovers more. Like, oh my, that's the episode I watched. Bring it on, you guys. If you didn't listen, do it. It's really great. Plug within a plug.
One of the huge differences between Superbad and Booksmart is that the messaging put forth is like wildly different. Superbad is like steeped in toxic masculinity, and like the characters' motivations for that movie is like they're trying to get alcohol to take to the party to feed it to the girls who they like so that they will have lowered inhibition so that they will have sex with the boys.
Like all the things that people lie about doing today. They're like, this is the plot of the movie.
Yeah, and like that it's like a funny, cute objective, and it's like it's
that's
so rooted,
terrifying.
It's so like rooted in that like nerd entitlement trope that we come up a lot of, like, and it's like in John Hughes movies all the time, but like the whole young man who has been sexually rejected a lot or like doesn't fit in, who then has to quote unquote resort to like physically abusing, lying to, and tricking women.
Yeah, it's like I've got to use sorcery in order to get what I want rather than just like be me.
Right.
You know, like spells, vodka, like lies, whatever, you know?
Like spells, vodka, and lies is a movie I would see.
I mean, 13 going on 30, we have Mark Ruffalo being a warlock and using the wishing dust.
Exactly. He has to like do a whole complicated warlock subplot.
But anyway, are there similar story beats in both movies? Yes. Are they tonally similar? Sure.
But there's improvements.
Vast improvements.
Substance.
What I think is like cool is like it's weird because I feel like any comparisons are sort of framed as like it's the same movie, which it isn't, and it's also just like I feel like indicates because it's been like 12 years I think since Superbad came out.
Yeah, 2007.
And you know, like the world has shifted at least a little, and it's cool to see like kind of a similar framework. It almost feels like a science experiment. Like, can we make a better version of this general formula?
And they did.
I like that.
And that's that on Superbad.
Sick.
So there's a lot to talk about with this movie.
My hand is full. It is, the palm is ready.
So, I mean, largely it is a movie celebrating female friendship. We don't get that in movies nearly enough.
And like cool, complicated female friendships, because there's sometimes I feel like kind of Mary Sue-ish female friendships where it's like they get along all the time. They love each other and they respect each other, which is great, but it's like not really reflective.
Or like they're exactly the same. That's why they get like women who are different don't get along. And it's like, no, they're not made from the same mold, which is why it's so beautiful that they are so obsessed with each other. That's how me and my friends are. We're so different, but we're same, not the same, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And it's like you see, I like that you see them in conflict with each other. You see where they disagree on stuff. You can see like one thinking that the other is like acting kind of dumb, just like all the stuff that is actual friendship.
Yeah, and like when they when they get dressed and are wearing the same thing and are not upset about it. I literally was like, wow. Also, I was like, where do I find the jumpsuit, because the waistline is amazing.
It's so good.
And Kaylin's the fanny pack.
I want that fanny pack.
Send me a photo, I'll find it. I literally, there's nothing I enjoy more than finding like a like an accessory or like a vintage something online.
Awesome.
I got you, girl.
Thank you so much.
Getting the fanny pack.
Like, clear my schedule. I gotta find a fanny pack.
They're so different because we know so much about them because the movie took care to develop both of these characters enough that we understand their idiosyncrasies and all that stuff. So very well done, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that the friendship is great and complicated and good, and I loved it.
Indeed. There's a lot of similarly good sort of just messaging that the movie puts forth, you know, advocating for body positivity, sex positivity. You know, there's like the scene where they turn into the dolls.
I guess I blocked it out until you brought it up. I like forgot that it was part of the movie. Like, it was unnecessary.
It felt weird. Like, we watched this with our friend of the cast, Melissa Lozada Oliva, and she was like, this movie, at times, like, this movie was written by four people and it shows.
That is like, such a good analysis.
Because that, like, that scene felt like, of all the tropes that this movie avoids, I'm like, oh, they could have avoided the drug scene. It just, like, not that it's bad, it's just like it just felt weirdly out of place.
It feels tacked on.
I feel like it almost like First of all, I don't think it was necessary, but I feel like the way that they executed it was just wrong.
It was
like,
weird.
Like, I feel like I would have enjoyed, being that the characters were so developed and they had so many different little, like, idiosyncrasies, it would have been fun to see those idiosyncrasies come out. Like, I forgot that she was like, oh my God, my mom loves me so much. And she, like, I was like, oh my God, I forgot whenever she said she smokes, she thinks her mom's gonna die. Yeah. And I got super excited about that. And all of a sudden they were dolls. And I was like, it's just almost if like you guys found a way. Like, have you guys seen that episode of Broad City where they do shrooms? And like, it kind of reminds me of like a watered down version of that, but unnecessary.
I think what happened was that they wanted a way to like talk about like body positivity, and they couldn't figure out a way to like work it into the script organically, so they're like, oh, maybe we'll just have them trip and then they turn into like these Barbie dolls.
You're so smart. You're so right.
Because that's what that function.
Holy shit, my brain.
That's what
exploded.
That scene serves to do is like them, like, oh, like, look how unrealistic our bodies are, but also we kind of like it.
Yeah, she's like, I look amazing. Oh my God. And she's like touching herself. But at first it's like, wait, how do you even stand up on this? Oh my gosh, my top's too heavy and blah, 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 blah.
Like, my boobs are huge and they're smooth. And
I mean, there's some funny lines in there that like hit of like her like momentary, like, this body makes no sense, but I'm so smooth. Like, stuff like that. It's funny, but it's just like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, first of all, I'd rather see Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein have that conversation in person.
1,000%.
Like, it just felt weird that they're animated. And then, I don't, like, what, in the middle of this movie, like, not that I don't dislike the message, but it's just like, why are they talking about how Barbies are disproportionate? In the middle of this movie that has nothing to do with how Barbies are disproportionate.
Yeah, it's almost weird. As if they like had a checklist of things that were like they should, and they were like, we forgot body positive, so we got to get that back.
They're
in.
Like, our woke list.
Yeah.
Our woke list.
It does feel like that, because there's all these other different things where like there's a conversation about like gender performance versus sexual orientation and how they're different. And,
right.
Yeah.
And which at least that fit in. I mean, I like that.
That worked.
It fit.
That worked.
I was like, gender performance? Another thing for me to learn and understand, but I'm so down.
Right.
Gen Z is dope. Like, which, and most of the time, like the little like woke moments that they fit in story, I thought were like pretty effective. The Barbie thing felt kind of like out of place. Yeah. It's like, I agree with the point, but like, why is this here?
Yeah. Like, the point doesn't hit home if it doesn't like fit in with the story.
Right. And it's like, we don't really see those two characters like struggle with their bodies that much in the narrative, so it just felt like kind of weirdly
that is a good
out of
point
place.
Because it doesn't seem like they really care like about that, which we all do, but you know what I mean, like,
but that wasn't a focal point for either of them.
Right. There's only one brief moment where Molly, Beanie Feldstein's character, says something like, oh, Nick isn't ever going to like me back because he only talks to girls who look like AAA. And then Amy slaps her across the face for being like, don't you ever say anything.
Which I love because I've done that to a friend. Yeah. I've 100% done that to a friend. I literally was like, okay, so this is going to get weird. And she's like, why? And I was like, if you were someone else and you just said that about you, I was like, I'd cuss that person out. So do you really think I'm going to sit here and let you talk shit about yourself and be like, yeah, that's great. Like, what am I supposed to do? Support you, which means I'm also knocking you down, or like be a friend and check you?
Right.
And I was like, you can't say that in front of me because you're essentially talking shit about my friend in front of me, which is you.
Which is you. Like,
that's so nice.
When I saw it, I was like, I've done that. Right. Like, I totally get it. I didn't slap her, but like, if we have another round.
I was like, if you keep it up.
Yeah, just know it's coming.
But other than that brief moment, we see them like building each other up and like they look at each other in their outfits and they're like, you're so fucking beautiful. Like, you look amazing. There's so much like.
And the focal point is more their personalities than their bodies at every point, because it's like they call her a butter personality. They're worried about how their classmates perceive them personality wise.
Which they feel good about the way they're made. Like,
They're like, we look hot. We look cool. We got fanny pegs. It's just our personalities that
which I think is another great strength of the movie, because like Molly is plus size, but it's like so normalized. There's no like, you don't see anyone like calling her fat or like commenting on her body.
Yeah.
And aside from that one comment, you know, she seems perfectly comfortable in her own skin and like.
Which is like teen movies need characters like that.
Yeah. Because there are girls who are like, I don't care about the fucking norm. Like, I like the way I look.
Yeah, and it's like usually I feel like in teen movies like this, if someone is othered in any way, that has to be the focal point of the whole story.
Yeah. It's like she's like remember like the running joke? It's like she's the nerd of the high school till you take her glasses off and she's beautiful. Like, and I say that as someone who was in She's All That, okay? So know that.
Yeah.
That's all 90s movies. Like, her hair's straight and she's beautiful. It's like,
what?
We covered that movie on the podcast.
So,
it's
a fun one. That one's.
That one passes the Bechdel test when two women threaten to kill each other. Oh, it's fun.
I don't even know where to go from that. That's amazing. Okay.
Technically,
anyway, needs an upgrade.
We've got the movie sending messages of body positivity. And then on that same vein, like, I feel like if you see, usually in a movie where you see a character who looks like Molly, she wouldn't have a romantic interest.
Right.
Or if she does have a crush on someone, it's unrequited. And if she were to talk to that person, like, she'd be really, like, flustered and nervous and, like, not good at talking to, like, a crush. But, like, her flirt game is good.
So forward and like the whole like God, the teenagers talking to each other about Harry Potter houses. I'm like, you guys are such losers, but it's so cute.
Yeah, which is, I think what I love the most about the two women is like they were firmly grounded in themselves. Like they knew exactly who the fuck they were. And they're like women who are 30 who don't. So it's so dope. I'm like, I'm like, you guys can't see, but my arm's up. But it's like crazy because it's like you guys are barely like stepped into the world. And high school, which is like ruthless, you guys are firmly grounded in who you are and like unapologetic because you have nothing to apologize for in the first place.
Right. And that's so like, I've seen a few criticisms that are like, well, teenagers aren't actually like that, and you're like, well, no fucking duh, teenagers aren't actually like that most of the time. But this is like the kind of movie that's like you know, you're looking for like as a teenager like people to model yourself after.
Yeah.
And so if you see
it's also like because you weren't and your friends were, doesn't mean they don't exist. Like they're probably like,
sure,
I'm like, were you like super bad? No. Shut up. Like there are so many like cool example characters that like I wish I had seen when I was a teenager. And something I really liked about this movie is the that I think deviates from like the teen movie like general formula is that it gives attention and care to its like B characters that only show up in a few scenes, but pretty much everyone is fleshed out. My favorite example of that is AAA. I loved AAA's character.
Same.
She is framed at the beginning as sort of like a teen movie trope of like she's the quote unquote slutty hot girl.
Yeah,
and then
the mean girl almost.
Yeah, who's, she's insulting Molly in their gender neutral bathrooms at high school, which is great, but also bad for Molly in that case because boys are talking shit about her outside of the bathroom.
And I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I just saw this like... The things that you notice as actors, we see like either like that one extra who's doing too much in the background or blah, blah, blah. You know, like I love that person who's like, whoa, a fight's happening in the restaurant. I'm like, that guy, don't stop looking at it. But did you look at like the like graffiti on the walls? It was like
penis.
I was like, but it was like the most beautiful writing. And I was like, okay. Like the set director was like, don't mess with the paint too much. Like I was like, this is so perfect. Yeah. So really perfect. Good. I'm sorry. I totally I thought of the graffiti and was like, that shit is such a set director.
So good.
Yeah. Like, our designer.
Someone was doing good work.
Yes.
Yeah. But AAA, I loved her.
I loved her because then she immediately, like, in the space of she's presented as this sexually promiscuous mean girl. Mm-hmm. And then in that same scene, Molly, you know, goes out to stand up for herself and is pretty rude and is just like, well, you guys aren't going to good schools. And then it turns out that like
they're smashing it.
Yeah,
I didn't see that coming.
AAA is also going to Yale, and like she just totally subverts everything that you learn about her. And then there's another scene with her and Molly at the end where AAA gives Molly a ride home and says basically like she was called like the hand job queen or something. And
well, she gets called AAA because she gave roadside assistance to men in like
which is more clever than any teenager, but like, sure.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm like, I remember my nicknames. They were never like, oh, wow, you actually are witty. Like, it was just like, you're right. An idiot. Like, I totally identified with AAA in like elementary school. Well, not elementary, whoa, that would have been bad. Like, oh, let's learn about my childhood. Junior high, because like, I was the little girl with huge lips. And so all the boys started calling me DSL. And you can figure out what those mean.
Oh, I know
mean.
What it stands for.
And they would just be like, yeah, Vanessa's got that high-speed internet. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, you guys are so fucking stupid. But God. I was like, first of all, I'm 15. That's never happened. Like, yeah. I identified with AAA. I'm like, everyone's like, she's the social one who parties. But I was like, I have a 4.1. I'm going to USC. Bye.
Yeah.
Like, bye.
And that was like what AAA does at the end. She like says, basically, she's like, yeah, I've had sex before. And like, she's very like sex positive about the way she presents herself. But she's like, but people have the wrong idea about me. Yeah. I've literally just given people rides home. And then boys will like lie about like what I've done with them. Please
but
don't.
She does say that. She does say.
But she says she's done it.
No, but she goes, this is why guys say I've given roadside assistance, because I picked them up. And she goes, and go, yeah, like, and I've also given them.
I also blew
them, but like, it's not like I came over to do, which I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but I almost thought that they weren't going to say that, which I thought would have been awesome. But I also like the fact that she's like, no, I did do that. But like, does that
she's
mean
like,
you
I
have
did
to
that because I wanted to and
burn
I wanted
me at the
to...
stake for it? No.
Right. And then it like, it doesn't mean that she's stupid. And right. It doesn't mean that she's not going to be. And then, like, I don't know, the way she and Molly sort of reconcile at the end, I'm like, oh, they're going to be like roommates in a
year. I
know. Like, for sure, they're going to be best
so much fun to see. Yeah. I want that movie. Ooh.
To backpedal a little further on her storyline, so before we even meet her on screen, Molly and Amy are talking about her and call her AAA. And Molly participates in this, what's essentially like a slut shaming nickname.
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely.
Amy's like, don't call her that. And Molly's like, well, it's true. Like, she gave this roadside assistance. And then later, when Molly's in the car, with her, AAA, who's I don't remember what her actual name is.
Annabelle. Yeah.
She does this whole thing where it's like, you know, I understand the guys calling me that, but it really hurt when the girls were calling me that. Like, she, I guess, assumed there would be
solidarity.
You know, more, exactly. So she was upset that the girls were calling her AAA too. And then Molly's like, oops, I did that. And then, but then she's like, Amy never called you that. And
which is nice.
So,
yeah. What I also like too is like, I don't know whether or not this is like a belief that is widely held, but I feel like there's something where people don't get that women can also be like funny and pretty and sociable and smart. Mm-hmm. Like, we can do that.
Yeah.
We can do both.
We can have it all.
And
many
we can also be
do.
Funny. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's just wild, all of the possibilities.
I guess I kind of misunderstood that final scene with AAA and Molly, because I the way I interpreted it was that, yeah, she had like blown or given hand jobs to like some of the guys, but not all of them. And like, what resonated with me that I guess didn't happen in that scene was that like, there are times where like high school boys will overestimate what they did with a girl, which I thought wasn't really like a point I see like addressed by the girl in a lot of movies.
Sure.
And so I guess
that didn't
I wish
quite,
that had happened.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
She basically what happens almost, she just essentially admits like, yeah, the things you heard about me, yeah, I did give some blowjobs, but it's because like I wanted to and I wanted to enjoy myself. Like and she like refuses to be slut shamed for her activity.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a few other like things that are like, you know, promoting sex positivity in this movie that I really enjoyed, which is like just the friends encouraging each other to like explore their sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, Molly's like, oh, I want you to like kiss a girl, Amy, finally, and all this stuff. We see them talk about masturbation and like share masturbation stories. They watch porn together.
They do that. Oh my gosh, which I so did with like my best friend, of just like, let's figure this out. We have internet access.
Like, I'm like, duh, who hasn't?
Yeah.
This is before like private browsers. So we were just like, fuck it, let's get in there. You know? Like,
full on desktop.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know. Do you know? Okay, well, how do you Google? You can literally like Google sheer tights and everything will come up. Like, you know, like you don't even have to try hard.
Yeah. And then another moment I liked along that same vein was there's a rumor that has been spread around about Jared and how he lost his virginity to when he was 14 to a sex worker, which is language that I've never heard in a movie. It's like someone say the word sex worker, which
I mean, this movie course corrects a lot of really good things.
And then later on, Jared reveals that he didn't have sex with a sex worker. He's never had sex with anyone, which he's like not ashamed to admit. He tells this to the
most elevated high
school girl that he clearly has a crush on. He's just like, I have not fucked, and I'm okay with that.
Like, honestly, that's hot, Jared.
Yeah. I love the fact that when they're talking about his rumor, she's like, this is too crazy of a rumor to not be true. And I literally was like, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I've just accepted that too. Like, who would make that up? But it's like a lot of people, maybe.
A lot of people, yeah. I mean, and Jared is like another one of those like sort of B characters that you end up getting that full arc with, where I feel like if this movie was made 10 years ago, that would just be the joke. Like,
he'd be the
Richie
Rich. Like, oh, we don't really pay attention to him, but we like that he has a lot of money.
Right. Eccentric rich kid, slut-shamed girl. Like, those would have been the one note. But this movie, like, does
go out of its way. Yeah, they did a really good job of, like, giving them their own moment in the sun without it being too much.
Yeah, it's cool. And then, like, Hope, who is the hot girl who Amy hooks up with in the bathroom, like, we get to see her a second time, and mm-hmm. she's not just sort of, like, put in the, like, random hot girl. Like, I feel like in a different
angry
movie,
hot girl,
she would have been mean, or she, like, but
she is kind of mean, though.
Yeah, she was mean in the beginning scene. Like, I remember, like, seeing her and just being like, oh, she's gonna be a pain in the ass all movie, and then she was like back at the end, and
it kind of resolves at the end, where she's just like, hey, hope I see you around. Like,
But then in the bathroom, even, she's just like, you fucking idiot, you're crying in a bathroom, I don't like meek people. And then that prompts Amy to surprise kiss her, which...
There's two surprise kiss. Both of the protagonists of this movie do a surprise kiss. And Beanie Feldstein's surprise kiss, I was like, where did this... I mean, I know that they set up her and Jared, but like that kiss at the end, you're like, this is very sudden. Yeah, there's two surprise kisses in this movie. So, you know, we're not all the way there. There's still surprise kisses and a predatory teacher.
Yeah, so. Those are some of the things that I didn't care for. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back for more hot discourse.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Tuesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. Let's talk about Jessica Williams.
Yeah, are we going to negatives or did we?
Let's go into some negatives because there are a few. This is not a perfect movie.
No. God, I just like Jessica Williams is so funny, like in the first half of her scenes when we see her at school, and then when we see her like pick up the girls and it's like, man, like you should go to a party, like I wish I had, because, and then she talks about how she was banned from all the Jamba Juices.
That shit was hilarious.
She's like, it's a sensation.
That shit was hilarious.
It was so funny. And then I feel like the movie kind of like sells her character out and they make her a predatory teacher, which doesn't seem like the character we met at the beginning of the the movie.
Yeah, there's Theo is his name, who failed seventh grade twice. So yes. He's older. He's 20.
Which they go, I feel like the movie tries to get a pass by stating that several times.
Yeah, they're like, but we're not like, making it like weird. Like,
but you're still at, like, you're still fired. Like, you're still right. At a high school
My
party.
My best guess is like, they're making another attempt to like, subvert a trope where it's like, ooh, look how cool it is that an older woman gets with a younger man, because we don't see that much. The problem that
power dynamic.
The power dynamic, exactly. It is
also being at your student's party, you're fired.
There's all these other underage kids there. They're all drinking.
Cool, this is tight. Yeah, make sure your homework's in on Monday and right. Don't take that Jello. I feel like when she was driving off, you could like see in her mind her thinking about possibly going to the party.
Right.
And I was just hoping it didn't happen.
Yeah, you're like, there's no way.
And there was no reason for her to happen, because it's not like we saw them hooking up or anything.
Yeah. It was so, I mean, that was another thing that I think is like, this movie was written by four people, and this movie, the first draft of this movie was written 10 years ago. So everyone credited on the screenplay is a woman, but the first draft was written in 2009 by Emily Halpern and Sarah Haskins. So that to me felt like some first draft shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like 2009 was at the hilt of, oh my God, students and teachers are hooking up. Like,
yeah. And they're like, well, let's do a little twist on this that is like ultimately misguided and doesn't help the story and just is a waste of Jessica Williams. And I'm mad about it.
And
to be honest, like, there were no brown women in that movie. That's the thing that drove me insane about this movie. I think it did such a great job of showing high school men in every light, mm-hmm. and we only had white high school girls.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
It was a huge missed opportunity. Like, and here's the thing is like, I always think about that when I think about representation in movies. Like, okay, like, you know, you get a script or an audition and it'll say like, Vanessa, 12 to 15. I'm never going to play that age right now, but you get what I'm saying. And it'll either say like African American or all ethnicity. And so I wonder with this, like, was it specified all ethnicity and these girls just happen to be the best, which they were fucking awesome. Like, I won't take that away from them.
Sure.
Or was it one that was specifically Caucasian? And I'm like, there's so many, to me, none of the actual girls in the high school, their personalities weren't specific to a culture. So they could have been any culture.
Anybody. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would say, like, what is not Beanie's character, Amy?
Amy.
Amy. Like, okay, so we saw her parents. I understand that. But, like, Beanie could have been, like, a mixed race.
Sure.
Easily, because we never saw her parents. You know, like, any of the girls. Any of those girls could have been Asian, Hispanic. Like, the dude who hooked up with Jessica Williams was Mexican. He says that he's Mexican.
Like, do you want to sleep with a Mexican guy?
There's two Asian dudes. We've got two gay guys. We've got two black dudes.
Nick is black, there's
so much diversity in the high school men, and I didn't see myself.
Which is so bizarre. Like, that is, I feel like, one of the big
I was so confused by that.
Of this movie.
Agree.
Yeah.
The representation for male high schoolers is, they nailed
all
it.
All over the place.
Nailed it.
And who knows what the actual process was, but this is a movie that was directed by a white lady, written by four white ladies, and that shows in the way that, like, I mean, they're representing themselves.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate, because it's like, I don't know any white girls who went to high school with only white girls.
No, that's...
Like, and if they did, they were like, shit, dude, I had to, like, figure it out. Like, it was because of where I lived, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but in most cities, and that seemed to be, like, an L.A. or a New York or something like that, like...
You're gonna have
a diverse group of classmates.
They're in LA. Like,
yeah.
And especially, like, the male population of this school is diverse. Why would the female population
Be? Confusing.
Like, I literally was like, there was not one woman of color besides Miss Fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's...
That's insane.
And that is, like, the one thing that does kind of bother me about the discussion that has surrounded this movie is that Olivia Wilde has come out quite a bit and, like, rightfully so in a lot of ways, being like, this is a movie for women. Like, we need people to go see this movie. And, like, she's really been pushing it and saying, like, you know, like, everyone has to see this movie or women can't make movies anymore.
Okay.
Which, you know, like, I understand where she's coming from, where it's, like, it's hard for women to get second chances and
all that. The same thing with the Black community. They're like, it takes 20 years to get funded. And then Black Panther came out and now we're good. No, I'm just kidding. Now we're straight. No.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Like, thank you so much, Marvel.
She's only representing, like, white women in her movie. And that's a legitimate complaint that I don't think that she is really addressed or, like, taken in stride very much.
And that's why I was, like, trying to think of it outside of, like, so what are the possibilities that could have landed in this way? Like, is it all ethnicity? And these girls, like, I get it. Like, you see someone, you're like, I wanted it to be a Black person, but this girl nailed it. Like, that's Gigi, you know? Like, so I understand, like, that, but I'm also like, really,
there's also so many talented women of color who could have been cast. Like,
so many.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's not that. Well, the other thing too is that a lot of the, like, top billed actors are white, because you've got Jason Sudeikis, Will Forte, Lisa Kudrow. They're hardly in the movie at all, but they got top billing because they're famous people.
Exactly.
And then they're all still white. And then, yeah, I mean, the classmates and the fact that they're all white women.
They could have done so much.
Absolutely.
And I just feel like sometimes you don't need to justify why someone is a different race. Because no one really justifies whiteness in films.
Right.
It's just like that is. It is what it is.
So much else in this movie is very normalized.
Exactly.
Like the queerness, body, like, it's all very normal. And then, like, you could have just introduced many characters who were women of color and also had that just be normal.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't do it.
Very weird. And it's like with the casting thing, it's just like, if you can't find, like, a woman of color who is super funny and incredible, like, you're just not looking hard enough.
No.
Like, it's just I, like, if they ever came back with, like, well, they just, it's like, no, you just weren't looking hard enough and you weren't.
And, like, that's, like, an insult to, like, every woman of color who's an actor who's, like, bomb.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, at the, what was her name? Hope? I could have justified or validated her being, like, anything. Like, she could have been half Native American. She could have been in this.
She just had to be hot.
But we just didn't know. Like, I have no idea what her ethnicity is. But at the end of the day, she could still fall in, like, slightly olive white girl with brown hair. Like, you know what I mean? I just wish that there was something. Especially because the boys, there were more diverse, there were less white boys than there were brown boys, which is never the case.
White boys, Jared.
And then George.
And he's peak white
George,
boy.
Yes.
It's very, and Melissa pointed out when we were watching as well, she's like, the only brown woman who's even mentioned is Rosa Parks when they're, like, listing off their list of heroes. That was another thing that was like, it's kind of a nothing, but it's just like.
And Malala, I guess.
And
those
Malala.
Are their, like,
they're,
the brown girls are their
but
heroes.
But then they also mentioned Susan B. Anthony, who was extremely racist.
She's the most racist person ever.
It's like a weird white feminism thing. Like,
what? I mean, even the way
that
they.
Did I say it?
No,
I'm like, edit it out. I'm just kidding. Like,
no, I mean, it's like, there is the way that their rooms were designed, I thought was, like, annoying, which I hate saying, there is, like, a very, like, their rooms were given off white feminism hard, where it was, like, framed pictures of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and, like, it was, like, pussy hat feminism, where it was just, like, vaguely consumer and. Which I know is just, like, sort of shorthand for, like, these woke young white girls. But it's, like, I don't know.
It's, how we all felt about Lena Dunham saying that, like, you know.
I was rolling my eyes at the set, like, the way they presented of, like, you know, wearing, like, pussy patches. I'm like, I'm sure if I were a high schooler in 2019, I would do that to an extent. But I was like, man, there's, like.
Wait, the pussy patches thing? I don't remember that.
She had like different patches of, like, vaginas, and she had, like, vagina posters in her room.
Oh, I totally didn't see that.
The set design, it was like, it was very pussy hat feminism, which I'm, like, always vaguely annoyed by.
Sure.
Because it's vague.
There's
nothing.
There's
and
another.
Mostly white girls do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
There's also some, you know, like, trans erasure with that kind of stuff. But there's another.
this podcast moment where I was like, this is everything. I'm like,
there's another moment where like the white privilege really comes through, where Amy, there's like a video of her getting arrested and she makes a joke about not having a gun. She like call shotgun, and then she's like, just kidding, I don't have one. And it's like, because you're a white girl, that had no consequences, but right. if you were brown or black, like, you would have probably been shot. So
okay, as the brown one at the table, mm-hmm. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Sure. like And that's the thing that's crazy to me sometimes, is like, sometimes those things are so normalized to me. Like, oh, she doesn't have to deal with that. Like, if it had been a brown girl, I'd be like, uh-oh. Like, because it would be me. Like, right. I know. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And then, like, by extension of that, like, if she was that extremely arrested, the fact that it's that easy for her to get out is very,
I was thinking that too, and I was like, don't even bring it up. But I was like, where are her parents? Like, they were so involved, but no one gives a shit now. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, she was out within a day. Like, we've all had a friend who had to spend a night in jail. It's not that easy. Like,
right. You have to tell their parents. You have to tell their,
yeah. Like,
yeah, that was like a weird thing. I mean, and then something I wanted to bring up quickly that, was like, I think my last negative feeling about this movie, I'm pretty sure, was the lack of, like, in the same way that there's like a lack of self-awareness about like the white feminism that's present in this movie, there's also a complete lack of self-awareness with class,
sure,
which I think is like such a teen movie thing and a children's entertainment thing in general, that like, this, I mean, there's room to comment on it in this movie. They're in Los Angeles. There's such a wide array of like classes present in the city. And this movie is like most teen movies, it's about upper middle class kids who, there is no, I mean, especially where it's like the discussion is they're getting ready to go to college, which is like the most devastating financial commitment. Like, people who are not in a position for their parents to pay for their schooling.
Right, yeah.
It's just weird that it's completely not present.
That would have been cool. I feel like if there was, like, a kid who was, like, down and out. Like, or, like, I feel like they did such a good job of taking the secondary characters and giving them a moment in the sun. They could have easily taken one of those guys and, like, added that in, you know?
Totally.
Like, whatever it may be. Like, maybe it took him 2 years to complete high school because he was helping the family with a part-time job or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe that's why Theo failed seventh grade so many times.
Yeah, because he was like, I gotta keep the lights on.
I liked the fact that he's gonna go be a coder at Google. At Google. That was funny. But like,
third time's a charm. I'm like, this guy, these kids are so damn confident.
That's like a, I'm like, that is like the like coder prodigy character. I like that. But the, I mean, just in general, I think that there's just like, in most teen movies I watched growing up, there was like no one from like my class reflected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was like, where are the poor kids? Like, where
right. Because I was a poor kid in a super rich high school, and I was like, wait, so
right.
Like, I remember coming to school with a guest bag, and like, it has the same triangle as the Prada triangle, and they were all like, oh, it's Guess. And I was like, but it still holds.
Isn't
shit.
Guess? Like, I also a fancy brand, or am I just showing
not
my
not
to Prada people?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, oh, you poor thing. I was like, I begged my mom for this. What are you fucking talking about? My chapstick is in here. I'm killing it. Like, don't feel sorry for me.
I just want there to be teen movies where teenagers are wearing their cousin's clothes. Like, that was like, where's that at? I mean, and that's just like something that this movie doesn't really, because all these movies need. There was a really good Twitter thread. I wish I had the name of the user that found like the scene where the like girl goes, you know, dives into an in-ground pool and is all in her feelings in these teen movies. And I'm like, I didn't go into like an in-ground pool till I was like 20. Like, there is where, but yeah, the like girl in her feelings in the in-ground pool shot is,
it's becoming a trope.
I mean, I do have pool scene written down on here.
Ooh, yes.
But mostly because one thing that I loved about this movie was the music. Like, love the music. The music supervisor nailed it. Like, really helped me get into the emotions. Like, and here's the thing. Like, even though I'm, like, an actor, I am such an audience member. Like, I, like, I'm all the way in. Yeah. I would be great at any test audience because I'm, like, I'm going to feel the moments. Like, when she, like, saw them underwater, Ryan and Hot Guy, who I can't remember, Nick. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I don't know about you guys. That's happened to me where I've like seen the dude I like kissing a girl at a party and I thought that we were like on our way to like crush status.
Oh my God, yeah.
Cam Butler. Yeah, the music is from, I'd never heard of this artist, but Dan the Automator, Daniel Nakamura. He's like a, I guess he's a famous San Francisco electronic artist. He did the whole score, yeah.
The score, okay. Like, and then, yeah, the music supervisor who like did the soundtrack too is also on point.
I do like that they had the library scene too. I wanted to point that out because I was like, they talk about how smart they are the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they actually showed them like get down to business at what they're great at.
Yes.
And I love a good montage of like.
There's an, okay, one thing that, a trope that this movie avoided that I appreciate was like, there was no like clothes trying on montage where it's like, we're going to a party, we got to find the best outfit. Instead, they have a self-defense montage where they're like teaching themselves self-defense, which was incredible.
There's so much, like you want to be friends with those girls, which is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were so goofy and fun.
The other thing that this movie avoided that I noticed was there's so many teen movies that ends in prom. This did not end in prom.
Oh my God. It ended, I mean, but I think that that is, again, like, super bad also. I mean, I think that that is, that might come from, like, kind of the mold that they're pulling from a little bit. It's like they're making a movie that has mainly been taken up by male characters before, and they're making it a woman's story. Because I feel like, yeah, there's so many, I feel, I'm like, there was a draft of Booksmart that ended in prom. And
so
not
glad that is not what we're discussing.
Yeah, but it's cool because it ends in graduation, which makes sense because they're academic. Kids, and then when the car pulls into the football field, you're like, yes, like, it's so exciting.
That was exciting. Although Grandma Caitlin here, one of the things I didn't care too much about this movie is that it makes irresponsible driving seem cool and fun because they were like driving like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, there were so many jail. Like, all of your parents are away right now.
And you know, teens are gonna see that and they're gonna think I should drive like that, and they're gonna cause an accident.
Take an Uber instead.
I know.
They'll cancel on you.
I mean, I was fine with the irresponsible driving. They were driving a car with flames on it. How else are you gonna drive?
It's true.
My boyfriend's driving a truck with flames on it right now, and you know we were making bad decisions on the highway. We were driving a truck with flames. I don't care if I die. If I die, I'm dying in a truck with flames.
Hopefully it doesn't happen, but like, I'll be like, that's what she wanted, you guys, so she's fucking resting in peace.
That's how
she's resting in flames. Bye.
Yes, please put RIF on my tombstone, resting in flames. It also
that's
implies
sick.
It also implies that I'm in hell.
Yeah, you're in hell, yeah.
Yes.
That's fine.
Another big discussion that we should cover is the representation of queerness in this movie.
Yes.
We talked to our friends Ellie Brigida and Lee Holmes Foster.
Who are on our Debs episode.
Hosts of the Les Hangout podcast.
They're wonderful, and they kindly, we asked for their perspective on how they felt about how queerness was represented in the movie, and they gave us truly wonderful, comprehensive thoughts that we would like to share.
Yeah. Should we just go back and forth
on the bullet points?
First point is, Booksmart subverts LGBTQ tropes and gives us a lesbian lead character, Amy, who has already been out for 2 years at the start of the movie. She is confident in her sexuality and knows she likes girls. Her best friend is supportive, even encouraging her to lose her lesbian virginity with a joke about scissoring, which could be cringeworthy, except for the subsequent exchange with Amy claiming that, quote, lesbians don't scissor, and Molly arguing, don't knock it till you try it, which, A, is totally valid, and B, is some sort of meta humor, given that Beanie Feldstein is dating a woman in real life, which I did not realize that. Yeah.
Cool. Wow. Next point. Amy's parents are also supportive of her without question. In skipping Amy's coming out story, we instead get to focus on Amy as a person and get to see the high school experience we've seen in every straight high school movie ever from an out lesbian high school experience, which totally agree with.
Yeah. Such a good point.
Again, in the same way that like Beanie Feldstein's body doesn't become her story, like Amy's sexuality doesn't become her story.
Yeah, both, again, very normalized.
It should be co-stars to who they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're so comprehensive.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
So much appreciate it.
Yes.
Next point. Amy's initial love interest, Ryan, is also an interesting subversion of LGBTQ tropes. She wears board shorts, she skates boards, and she has a short haircut. Amy spends half of the movie trying to figure out if she's gay or not until she sees her making out with Nick, who is Molly's love interest. This shows that gay girls don't have to look a certain way to be gay, and someone can, quote, look like a lesbian and still not identify as one. Gender expression is completely different from how you express your sexuality, which
they basically
does get
say
said in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting here just soaking it all in.
The sex scene between Hope and Amy is also well done and realistic. Amy doesn't have a perfect first time, but she does get the hot girl in the same way that the Michael Cera's of the world have been getting hot girls for years. The only love scene in the whole movie is a queer love scene. There are some straight makeouts, but the sex scene is reserved for our lesbian high school protagonist, which I've never seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Ever.
Awesome that that happens. Like, the one sex scene you get is a queer
sex scene.
And even though things do go wrong in kind of a goofy Judd Apatow way, it's like, it's not specific to her sexuality. It's just an awkward teen sex scene.
Right. Because yeah, she's just inexperienced. Yeah. I did find it hard to suspend my disbelief for Amy not knowing the difference between a butthole and a vagina, what that would feel like, and where the positioning is,
because
she has those parts.
Yeah, it was like, it's, I'm like, you have both, and you know the like proximity, vicinity, and like they're like,
yeah,
the general
but I
feel.
Also, I mean, I don't know. I've made some weird mistakes. I'm like, everyone makes weird. I agree, but I'm like, well, I guess
she's
I don't
probably
know.
Wait, hold up. No. Okay, so. Wait, I'm just thinking the visuals I'm doing right now. Okay, so Beanie was like, flip it. Maybe that's why she messed up.
Oh.
That's the only thing that I could possibly maybe. Be like. Maybe right. She didn't think like flip myself, but flip, I don't know. I'm overthinking
the
it now.
The other thing I can maybe think to justify that was that she's presented as being so awkward when it comes to her like talking to her crushes, which I think is really, like I said before, like Molly is like super confident around her crush and is like really good at flirting. By contrast, Amy, who is like the person who like more traditionally adheres to Western beauty standards and is usually like that type is usually presented as being way smoother with like their crush. And but she's
but
so
she
awkward.
That. Well, and I do like that she has a little bit of anxiety, but it doesn't take over her whole character about like, well, I don't know how this girl identifies. And my favorite way that that is like expressed in a very like kind of subtle, funny ways when she's talking about how she's going to Botswana and she's like, well, I couldn't go to Uganda because. Oh, like, Uganda's every like very anti-queer, and then she just says like, she like mumbles like, "Would you be afraid to go to Uganda?"
Yeah, I was like, "That's such a, like that was my
so amazing.
It was so sweet. It's just like, oh my god, how could you not want to like just come over and hang out with me? I'll protect you guys for the rest of your life. So sweet.
It was adorable.
So sweet.
One thing that does kind of bug me about that scene, and I touched on it a little bit, the scene where they're in the bathroom and Hope and Amy are hooking up, is that the kind of precursor to them kissing and hooking up is Hope pretty aggressively negging Amy, and then that gets her to be like, oh, you're so hot, smooch, like surprise kiss, and I'm like, I feel like that could have been handled better. We're like, why is Hope this like needlessly mean girl? And like, why does that turn Amy on?
Well, and then, and especially in like a movie that generally does well by its B characters, like there could have been something set up between those two characters earlier, but it feels so sudden.
I mean, they had a very, very, very short exchange when they walk into the classroom, but it was so short that I don't remember what Hope said. I just remember her giving attitude.
I remember because I've seen it three times. It's
thank you. This is why we need you.
It's right after they score Jessica Williams' character's phone number. And then Hope says, oh, you got your teacher's phone number? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, or cool, or something like that. And it's like, maybe she's trying to flirt, and like maybe she's using negging as a flirtatious tactic, or maybe she's just
mean. But
she
could have said something like, have a good date this weekend, or something like kind of, I don't know, to like set up like.
It was weird.
I guess Hope is just the one who's like, we don't understand why she's mad, but like maybe she'll figure it out and let us know.
She's just young. Very opaque.
We'll get the sequel.
Hard to know.
Right.
Like, oh, that's why Hope's mad.
The gal sent us two more points.
Two more points. Next one is Beanie Feldstein, who plays Molly, Amy's straight best friend, is also an openly queer actress, which gives the movie extra points for casting queer actors in a queer movie, even though Molly isn't playing the lesbian character.
Which is great because queer actors don't always have to play queer characters. Like that's right. not, yeah.
And we talked about that on the recent Carol episode too, where it's like straight actors are usually cast to be the ones playing queer characters. It's much rarer to see out queer actors being cast at all, much less in straight roles.
Do you think
roles.
That happens more with women where they cast queer women in straight roles more than
I
men?
I think, oh, interesting.
My few examples that I have off the top of my head are Ellen Page, Kristen Stewart, and Portia de Rossi.
Yeah, I mean, they've been... It is harder to think off the
good,
top of my
those
head.
Those are really good ones, though.
That might be one of the... I mean, I'd be interested in what queer friends have to say about that, because it might be like something that is a little bit easier for women, which is rare to say ever. But like the only out male actor I can think, I mean, like Neil Patrick Harris is the
that's
example.
A great one. Yes. Yeah,
but I can't think of, like I can't think
oh,
of
oh there's example. The dude on Suits, I can't remember his name.
Oh,
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I have the IMDb.
Was that Meghan Markle's show? Or was that a different one?
Oh, God, now I'm confusing Suits. Brunettes with blue eyes. He's so cute, too.
Zachary Quinto often
yeah,
he's another straight one.
Gets some straight roles.
Or is it the Prison Break dude?
Oh, you what know, is his name?
Wentworth. No, not Wentworth.
Miller.
Well, and then you've got, like, Ian McKellen is cast
as Gandalf.
As, yeah, who is,
I mean,
you know,
he can do no wrong. He's Magneto.
Genderless.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that there are examples.
Sure. That would be fun to, like, not fun, but, like, something interesting to explore.
For yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, yeah, we would be, if any of our queer listeners have opinions on that, we would love to hear it.
Sure. And and or other examples.
Yeah. And finally, the last point that they sent along was, all in all, we would have killed for this type of representation in high school. Amy's sexuality is basically a non-issue. Nobody questions it. Nobody bullies or teases her for it. Multiple side characters are queer or fluid in various ways, also without facing any social repercussions. And the jokes are never at the expense of queerness. What a welcome delight.
It's true.
Ooh, and what a delight for them to have shared their wonderful perspectives. Yeah, thanks again to Ellie and Lee for
and listen
that.
To, and listen to their the episode we did with them.
Yes, and just to listen to their podcast in general. Yeah. Yes.
Something that I liked that the trope that this movie did adhere to was that many of the high school seniors are 25 years old. That's just a trope I'll never get tired of. I love, you know, it's like all power to the child actors, but I'm like, you know, we're out here, we're 26 years old, and we need people to think we're 18. Mm-hmm, and I appreciate that. The Billy Lord 26-year-old visibility.
It's so needed.
Good. Was high.
A couple other things I just wanted to point out because I thought they were funny or relatable. Amy does not do well on pot. Mm-hmm. I found that
I love
very
that.
Relatable for me. I have a panic attack anytime I consume marijuana. So I was like, thank
the
you.
Reefer.
Visibility is important here. And then Molly has a crush on a guy that she does not want to have a crush on. And I also found that very relatable because I was like, yes, there have been shitty men who cry.
Myself.
I mean, did you hear my gasp? I just went through all my trauma. I just let it all out right there. Oh.
Did you have anything else?
One last quick little thing. I did enjoy the scene in the lift where their principal is pitching them his detective novel.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, you guys would like this, which I feel like people say to me all the time, like knowing that
this
we do
right
this podcast. Yeah. They're like, he's like, oh, it's a female detective who is pregnant. And every time she has a hunch, the baby kicks. And then
shit,
he's like,
was hilarious.
He's like, I haven't worked out what happens when she gives birth, but like, that's where I'm at right now. And it's just like, oh, okay, a man trying to write a pregnant woman.
You know he's like, I'm an ally. And you're like, read a book, dork.
But then the last real point that I have is that, yes, this movie, at the time of this recording, hasn't been doing super well at the box office. It's grossed $14 million.
That, I think, is a complicated discussion, though, because it was there. I think that there is like a weird... That was just like the that's why it's part of the discourse around this movie, like in the Twitter discourse, just like it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I feel like it was sort of a cut and dry, like, see, people hate women. It's like, well, this movie was released at a weird time. Like it was released.
I didn't even know it was out. That's a right. problem. Like, how can I see something if I don't know it exists?
It was, yeah, like the marketing was off. It was released between the Avengers, between Aladdin, between these gigantic Godzilla.
You don't do like, blockbusters. You don't, like, you can't do, like, a unfortunately, like, a feel-good person-driven story, like, during May.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
It just seemed like a silly business decision.
Well, I guess they're lining it up with like high school graduation time.
Sure.
Yeah, it didn't.
There are a lot of like stuff that I've read because I do agree with the sentiment that it is, you know, it's like when you're a female director, it is harder to get a second opportunity to make a movie if your movie didn't absolutely kill it the first time mm-hmm. and that your work is just automatically held to a higher standard right. of success. I totally agree with that. I think that it's a little more complicated than it's been presented and sure. that if this movie had been released in like August, it may have performed if it was coming out in a less crowded, mm-hmm. like, because, and there was a lot of like discussion of like, well, Aladdin fucking killed it at the box office. And I'm like, no,
but
that's
of course
not...
people are going to go see that just to see it. Like,
right.
I remember. Did. Yeah. Are you joking? Like, don't even call me when The Lion King is coming out in July. I'm booking out for the entire month. Like, I can't, I took a photo by Simba when I went to go see Endgame the other day and I was like, yes. Lock it up, V, lock it up. I'm about to be, oh my gosh, what?
And that was
can't deal.
And that was like a bad look for a lot of people criticizing it because they're like, it's a movie with all white girls and they were like, well, like Aladdin has a majority POC cast and it's like, yeah. No, that's not the hill to die on. Like, it's just like, the discussion around it was very weird. I wish it had done better at the box office, but I sort of understand why it didn't.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah. at the end of the day, like, it's kind of tough to hear this is a movie about women and then women who are hearing the message don't see any women reflected in the cast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not like I don't go see movies like, okay, we match, I'll go watch. No, that's not my standard. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to see like a bouquet of kids in that
absolutely.
Movie. And we women didn't, like, young adolescent women didn't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it would have been so... The movie is written in a way that there's no reason it wouldn't be that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it's so... maybe it would have been too perfect.
Yeah, they're like, they're we like, have to, you we know, gotta, take we it got, down a notch.
We gotta have something to strive for in the second one.
Yeah,
right.
I get it. Okay, cool.
What I will say, though, even though the box office numbers aren't great, the movie, again, at the time of this recording, has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is encouraging and a, you know, departure from what we've seen in the past where, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where mostly male critics would be reviewing female driven movies and hating them just mm-hmm. because they were female driven. So it was at least encouraging to me to see that it has such a high score with critics because that hopefully means things are changing a bit.
Yeah. And I have I have no doubt that like Olivia Wilde.
Shout out to the movie Doubt.
I have such doubt, and yet in this case, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that Olivia Wilde will get to make another movie, which again is she's a famous white lady, mm-hmm. and so there is some privilege there too. Like, I don't know, she'll get to make another movie, and I hope that she includes women of color in her next one.
Mm-hmm. She will after the Twitter feed, probably.
I hope so. Yeah. It seems like she is reading the comments, and I was like, honestly, brave.
Yes, and she's going to listen to this episode, and she's going to be like, wow, the Bechdel cast?
They'll be like, we want women of color in the movie, but Vanessa is not allowed to audition.
You're going to be the star of Booksmart 2.
It's the college version. That'll be really fun. Yeah.
Melissa just texted me. And she said, I think my favorite part of Booksmart was that everyone was excited to see them at the party. I was like,
that was really
sweet.
That was really nice. It's true. Everyone was like that. It's true, though. Like, no one was like, oh, the nerds came. Everyone was like, we've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
Wow. It was such a supportive movie.
Man.
We wish that was our high school. Right. Good God.
Yeah, I think that was all I had. Did anyone have any other final points? Yeah, check your hand that you've written on.
But the thing that's making me really sad is towards the bottom, I have don't trust, but I don't remember why I wrote it.
I mean, a good general rule.
That's because that's what Mike O'Brien's character says in the car to them. He's like, don't trust people, because they like get into that car and he like gives this whole monologue about
maybe
like,
that's what
how scary people can be.
You are a queen and a psychic, obviously. I I'm gonna probably have to email them later and be like, I figured out what don't trust on my finger pad means, but we got it.
It's also, I mean, he's giving them very good advice, but then he turns out to be a killer.
I didn't see that coming
so,
at all.
I mean,
right. Which was great.
Hey, does this movie pass the Bechdel test or not?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Lots and lots. In fact, if I may just give a fun little Easter egg, I don't know what this is.
But I'm listening.
In Amy's house, there's a sign on her bedroom door that says, "A Room of One's Own," which is the title of the extended essay by Virginia Woolf that is partly what Alison Bechdel attributes the Bechdel test to.
Nice.
So a nice little Bechdel test tie-in in the movie. Just, I think they put that there for us. I think Olivia Wilde. Yeah.
She's
like,
ready for this episode.
Olivia Wilde, come on the cast.
Yeah, we'll have you anytime.
Come on the cast.
She's our biggest fan.
You're a coward, honestly. That's my new approach. Shaming women into coming on the podcast. That's my feminism.
You're going to be like, we've never had as many guest approaches ever.
But yeah, this movie passes a million times between many, many different combinations of characters. And strong showing of the Bechdel test here. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale, 0 to 5 nipples, based on its representation of women. I think I'm going to go, I want to say like a 4.25.
Okay.
I think it does really well in many regards. Where I'm docking it is the failure to represent women of color, the surprise kisses, which were tropes that should have been avoided. But I guess it's like, well, we're subverting it because it's women surprise kissing men in this movie.
No,
but
there's a plot twist.
An all-female reboot of surprise kisses, I'm not on board for.
No, that should not be a surprise. No genders should surprise kiss any other gender.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, just those few different things like that, which were missteps here and there that I wasn't a fan of. But overall, I think the movie does a pretty spectacular job. And I'll give it 4.25 nipples. And I will give 1 to Beanie, 1 to Caitlin Deaver. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
She does.
Her dad is Barney.
Okay, right. Her dad
just
is Barney.
One to Barney. Give one to Barney. Yeah. It's like, don't forget Barney. That's not cool.
And then I'll give 1 to Billie Lord, Carrie Fisher's daughter. Yeah. And I'll give, actually, no, I want to give 1 nipple to Jessica Williams. And I'll give my quarter nipple to Billie Lord.
Sick. I'm going to give this, this is going to be too mean. I'm going to give it 3.5, though. I probably would have given it a little more before this discussion, but I feel that after talking about it a little bit, like the only including white women is such a mistake and such a huge lost opportunity, especially like it bothers me when a movie really is selling itself as like the woke movie of the year and then erases all women of color. Like that is fucking stupid and annoying. I don't like that the only like women of color they include, they like subject to this shitty trope.
I hate that storyline.
The fact that there's a predatory teacher at like all female.
I mean, even think about her name, Miss Fine. Like I was like,
yeah.
I was like, you guys are kind of like feeding this to me. Like she's fine as fuck. And right. Like, okay, get it. I got it.
The all female reboot of a predatory teacher.
Another election.
I can live without that.
Another election kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. Where it's like that trope doesn't work when it's inverted. It just doesn't
work ever. Yeah.
No, it's like it's illegal. and I am just like the lack of any sort of acknowledgement of class in a teen movie is something that always bugs me. I don't know. Maybe I'll do like 3.75.
Damn it. That was my nipple.
Yeah, we can
share nipples.
We're on the same wavelength. I think maybe 3.75 because there are the things that this movie gets right. It gets really right.
the LGBTQ representation is strong and good, and from what we can tell from people we've spoken to, is very reflective of that experience as a teen. The female friendship is incredible, and the lifting each other up, like the good stuff is really good, and the stuff that is off just doesn't make sense to me for the kind of, and I think that like if there were more, if there was like not four white ladies writing and directing this movie, that these are mistakes that could have been avoided, and also like four privileged white ladies too,
right?
Because I feel like it may not have occurred to any of these women to include someone of a different class just because they're reflecting themselves,
right?
So 3.75 from Lil Jamie. I'll give one to Beanie, one to Caitlin, one to
thank you so much,
Jessica. Yeah, one to you specifically. Caitlin Deaver? No.
She spells her name wrong.
She spells it wild. One to Jessica Williams. I'm giving my 0.75 to either Barney or Jared. I can't decide who.
Feminist icon Jared.
I love Jared was doing his best.
Yeah.
I hope in college he's like, oh, wait, Sheryl Sandberg is not the feminist icon I was looking for.
Right.
Anyways, he'll pick up bell hooks his freshman year and we'll figure it out. Vanessa.
Wow. Wow, guys. Okay. I was like, numbers. I started off a little higher and then I got a little bit lower. I totally agree with you. Like, I think that's the thing that's so upsetting about this movie is like it's such a missed opportunity because they nail so many things that you don't expect to get out of a teen movie. And then it's like, to me, it's so much harder what they nailed that they forgot like just diversity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. It's so, like, I feel like maybe they put so much time into developing the B characters and, like, all of that that they forgot. And, like, I don't want to give the four white ladies, like, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes it makes me wonder, like, how can you look at your main characters and be like, this represents all women? It would make me want to step back and be like, do I understand what representation of women really means, you know? Right. Honestly, like that and the Barbies, like my biggest issues. I just wish that wasn't there. Yeah, I feel like that is my main issue with that. And then I also feel like, yeah, I feel like everything you guys said, I like lost some of it. I'm looking at my hand and I'm forgetting. So I have to give out 3.75 nipples. I think I just really wanted to get to that part.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, it's bomb. Okay, so I'm going to give one nipple to their friendship because it's just like, oh, it's so pure.
Yeah.
I'm going to give one nipple to Gigi's disappearing act because that bitch can teleport. It's just amazing. Was that disrespectful? She can. I'm like women and that. So she can do that.
I think she's a time traveler. That's my.
Oh yeah, she was the shapeshifter.
She's like going in and out of the Star Wars universe.
I'm gonna give a nipple to the pool scene and the music because it really took me on a journey.
Yes.
And then I'm gonna give my 0.75. to Alan's speech at the beginning of the murder mystery party.
Oh my God.
If there were two, he would have they would have had four nipples if he had had two. If he had done that speech twice, it could have gone up.
If Georgia just let him finish what he was saying.
I was like, he definitely gets a nipple. That
also,
is the best.
One of my favorite jokes in the movie is just like very subtle in the beginning when like they're all in the classroom and George is like, there's no spatial awareness at the school.
I also love when he was like, I don't audition, offers only. Yeah. It's like, but you're in a high school play? What?
And the way that they, oh God, their drama speech at the beginning where they're like, it's in the parking lot of a Whole Foods. Also, it was the play I did last summer at camp. I'm like, yep, that is what drama kids are like.
I loved them.
Oh my gosh. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys. This was like,
what a delight.
No, you guys are killing it. My brain cells are all activated.
Thank you for coming. We're so like excited to have you on.
Yes.
Anytime. If you guys ever need me back, I 100%.
Of course. Miles lives to see another day.
Thanks, Miles.
Great. Is there anything you'd like to plug and where can people follow you online?
Let's see. I've got an episode of Animal Kingdom coming out in a couple of weeks. They put a bunch of fake tattoos on me. I loved it. Oh, I have this really cool show coming out in fall with a Funny or Die called The Coop. It's interactive, so it's murder mystery, and you have to help, like, it's choose your own adventure.
Oh my god!
It's really dope. Reading the script was very confusing. I was like, it's choose your own adventure. Got it. Filming it was insane, but I've never laughed and broke characters so many times because everyone was
yes.
brilliant.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, and then I'm on Instagram, Vanessa L. Chester.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was a great, great day. Yes. So much fun.
I know.
I want to do this with every movie. Like, I need you guys to let me have, like, mini episodes where I can just discuss to get it out.
Please come back
anytime. I will 100%. Thank you. They invited me back. Yeah.
You can follow us on the places at Bechdelcast. Oh, we've got our Patreon, aka Matreon, with bonus episodes like Superbad, if you want to give that a listen.
That was a fun one. I think that we were pretty,
that was one,
like,
of our first Matreon episodes,
which means we were drunk and annoyed when we recorded it.
Annoyed or annoying or both?
Can't it be both? Mm-hmm. Yeah, $5 a month means 2 bonus episodes a month, and I think we're coming up on like 50 bonus episodes. You get access to the whole catalog.
Yep.
You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Bechdelcast, or go to tpublic.com/thebechdelcast for all our piping hot T-shirt and other things designs. Go check some out.
Yeah. Also, go to our website, bechdelcast.com, and click on live appearances for some upcoming live shows that, you know, we're might be having.
We may or may not be having.
One way to find out. Go to our website.
And then if you're in the UK this summer, please come to see my show at Edinburgh Fringe Fest, or I'll cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cry anyways. I feel like I'm going to be crying all summer, but that's okay.
Yes.
See you there.
See Jamie's show. And other than that, go read a book.
Go read a book.
Go be book smart.
Oh, wait. Can I say one more thing? So I was like, maybe the movie didn't perform well at the box office because the word book is in the title.
And people hate books. They're like, well, if it was called Movie Smart, people will go to see that movie.
Audiobook Smart? Audiobook Smart, everyone would be like,
sick. Ooh. Sounds like less work.
Let's change the name of our podcast to Podcast Smart.
Hard pass.
Fine. Right. Okay, bye.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.